Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, Lord, and we offer ourselves. We offer ourselves to be able to follow however you would lead us, however you would guide us. Thank you, Father, for your grace, for your love, for the mystery of how you continue to work in your world and in our homes. We pray in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. What makes you happy? I want you to just think about that. Is it a particular kind of cookie? If somebody brings Russian tea cakes, Mexican wedding cake, whatever you call them, you know, the little snowballs, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about. I know how this group thinks about cookies, you know what I'm talking about. Or the pizzelles. Okay, that was something I remember growing up. We would get out the waffle iron. I didn't do it, but my mom and dad would make that and just be producing them like a factory. Maybe it's a particular kind of cookie. Maybe it's something else at this time of year. Maybe it's looking at the lights, driving around. You know, out in the foothills here, I understand we have quite a light parade and procession, don't we? ATVs, I never realized you could put that many lights on an ATV and the battery wouldn't die right through the parade. These different things make people happy, certainly. But there's something else, and actually one of our young friends mentioned it. That's why I said he was kind of preaching my sermon for me. There's something else that we look for. It's joy. And we seek to experience joy, and we seek to experience it, and we will continue to seek after that because it's not something that we can produce, or it's not something that another person can give us, but rather it is only something that comes from God. Only from God, and always from God. Joy. Not simply happiness that fades away, but joy that continues to reside in our hearts no matter what might come our way. This is a remarkable story, isn't it? an incredible cast of characters and setting. An angel, a peasant girl, news of God keeping his promises. Pretty profound. And we need to be in the midst of that mystery and the profound nature of this message to truly understand that God never stops working. And that God is seeking to fill us with joy, not simply making us happy, but rather residing in us and growing in us. So that the joy of God in us can then be something that is shared with others, that is offered to others, that is witnessed to others, and what we do and what we say. Gabriel recognizes Mary, and maybe this is a better way to put it here, as the happy one. Now, somewhat perplexing, we have to think about this. This is a teenage girl, in a time whenever women had very few rights, and a teenager in a land that was occupied by brutal occupiers. And yet, Mary is described as happy. There's more, though. There's more in this scripture. And specifically, the first words that come out of Gabriel's mouth are, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Favored one. The Lord is with you. God knows you, Mary. This 12, 13-year-old in some backwater town, as a conquered people, God knows you. And God is going to do something extraordinary through your life that will change all of history, not only the world. Mary, amazingly enough, encountering this angel, hearing from this angel, eventually responds with an open invitation for God to use her as he wills, as he wishes as well. Your will, your wish is my command. It's my paraphrase. Wow. How many times have we, who have been in a much more comfortable position, not nearly as challenging of circumstances, and God speaks to us and we say, "Well, Lord, that's a great idea, but I think this idea would be better. I think my plan might work out just a little bit better, Lord. Can we try my way, and then, you know, if all else fails, we'll go back to you, God. You are God." Yeah. Mary doesn't really have that debate. The bottom line is, here I am. How often have we heard that in one form or another throughout Scripture? Here I am. There's a humility in that. There's a recognition that we can't do it alone, and that's okay. We have a God of grace, not a God ready to put his thumb on us, but rather a God ready to lift us up and encourage us if we will but follow how he is guiding us, how he is moving in our lives. Sometimes when we get the answer of how God is moving in our lives, it is a surprise. Sometimes the people that God puts us in front of, or the people that come in front of us one way or another, we're surprised by, "Lord, what am I supposed to do with this now?" Sometimes the call that God puts on our hearts to be involved in a particular ministry or or a particular way of sharing his love and grace will stretch us. And in the middle of it, we think, Lord, I'm tired of this. I want to go back to simply being happy and content. Being happy and content doesn't mean we're always being faithful. It's challenging, isn't it? It stretches us. It means that we don't define what ministry is. God is the one that defines it for us and guides us into it. It's a little bit scary, no question about it. A little bit nerve-wracking, a little bit, because we can really convince ourselves of all sorts of things, can't we? We can convince ourselves that what we want to do is really what God wants us to do. And that's why Advent is a wonderful time of stepping back and truly pondering God. Stepping back, truly being open and humble before God, and stepping back and truly considering what it is that we know of God, how we can hear God. His word is a major way, prayer, worship, and we need to be in those places, in his word, in prayer, in worship, to be able to discern what God is speaking to us. Another challenging reality is that we think God wouldn't want to work through us. Have you ever stopped in the morning and just taken a good look in the mirror and given a real good up and down appraisal of what's looking back at you? I'm not trying to depress anybody. Some of you were like, yeah, preacher, I've done that. Yeah, absolutely. What I'm saying to you is what is looking back at you is what God wants to work through. Just because you think that you're leading an unassuming life, just because you think that you are in some sort of backwater place of the world, Nazareth, Galilee, Yuma, or fill in the blank. Think, well, God, what do I have to offer? What did a 12-year-old Jew have to offer? A humility, an openness, a seeking after of joy, a willingness to be a channel for however God wanted to work. That should give us joy. That should create a feeling of being filled and an expectancy that God wants to use me. What's the only part of the equation that I'm missing, God? Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to be open to you. I need to be humble before you. And when we do that, wonderful things take place. Remember, those four words. How can this be in the scripture? Those four words that maybe we have exclaimed in our lives. How can this be? Not only when something difficult comes our way, but also when we wonder about if God really wants to use us. How can this be? Are met with God will make a way. God always meets our limitations. God always meets us and intersects with us in the places that we don't think he can possibly work. And we should never, ever limit the God of power, of incredible love. The Bridge Over the River Kwai is a story of British prisoners of war during World War II, and they were held by the Japanese in northern Burma in a very difficult circumstance. Ernest Gordon, who's a theologian and preacher, later became a chaplain at Yale and wrote a book called Through the River of the Kwai, which told another side of the story of degradation and desolation experienced by those impoverished prisoners. He was talking about them being in a situation of great challenge and wondering where God could be in their midst. If you're wondering that today, Lord, where are you in my midst? Or Lord, I'm ready for you to be more powerfully experienced where I am. And God says, I want you to be here. I want you to be with me. I want you to be communing with me. This book that Reverend Gordon wrote tells how those in the camp interacted with one another. And when these young soldiers realized that they were going to be there for a while, they began to have Bible studies and prayed diligently that they could be delivered from their present circumstances. A young girl in a very dark time in history, in a very dark place, is met by an angel. And her response is to be open to the good news. Chaplain Gordon continues by saying, we knew that the thrust of our praying was to be delivered from this prison camp, and that was it. Our praying was shallow and superficial, and we were railing against God for letting us be there. But something happened to us, and that kind of railing against God disappeared. And we began to move toward a more mature faith. We began to pray about how we could relate to one another in those bad situations. No longer was it why, God, but it was how should we act, God. Gordon said the most spiritual moment of his life was Christmas 1944. Out of deference to the men in the camp, they were not given work detail that day and were given a bit more food. He said that as they moved around the prison yard, they sensed that things were different. In one of the barracks, basically a thatched hut with a dirt floor and open sides where the men slept, one soldier began to sing a Christmas carol. It was echoed over the infirmary where men were dying. Then around the camp, the men began to sing. And those who could, those who were ambulatory, came to the parade field and sat there in a great circle. Gordon said, God touched us that day. Gordon said it was the most sacred event that he had ever been involved with. No preaching, nothing of the usual church paraphernalia, just men united by their common misery, singing of God being with them and God's sovereignty. And he said, we were touched by God. Christmas became real to him when he was touched by God in the surprising place of a Japanese prisoner of war camp in northern Burma. Of all places, of all times, from peasant girl to prophet, from Mary to Mother of God, from denial to discipleship, in a very real way, this, my friends, is what Advent is all about. The transformation that God seeks to create in us, especially at the deepest, most intimate place of us, where he starts dwelling and growing, and where it's not simply about being happy, but it's about being joyful and joy-filled in our path of discipleship. Where are you right now in your journey. Maybe you come today yearning for God. Maybe you come seeking a greater intimacy with God. Maybe you come carrying a burden. Maybe you come feeling isolated. Maybe you come railing against God for something. God receives it all, you see. Whatever we need to share with God, God receives it all. But God doesn't let us stay in that place, because He really wants us to experience His joy. I invite you to be with me as we continue in an Advent spirit of transformation. I'd like you to be with me in an attitude of prayer right now. And if your prayer simply is, "Lord, here I am," as Mary offered, it's wonderful. Whatever it is you need to offer to God, a God who hears, a God who is already at work even before you're thinking about Him, know that God receives it and is at work in your life in a wonderful way.